what we own on Wednesday nights and Sundays. Very important because, you know, one of the biggest problems is people don't know, believers, I mean, say people, believers, don't understand how the kingdom works. You know, everybody think the problem is sin. No, the problem ain't sin. Yeah, Jesus already dealt with sin.
Yeah.
The problem is you don't know how the kingdom works.
Mm-hmm.
You need, and sorry to say, if the Holy Spirit don't teach you, God gonna have to raise somebody up in your life to show you. You know, the Holy Spirit, he can show you himself, but like me, he had to raise, had to put some men and women in my life to teach me. So I'm sharing these lessons, you know, and hopefully they'll be a blessing to you. So we're on Faith Essentials. This will be part four of this lesson. And we've been talking about this definition that I created and I've been sharing with you over the last couple of weeks based off what I see in the scripture when it talks about faith. And the definition of faith is not considering impossibilities parallel with full persuasion that triggers a corresponding action that is in agreement with what I believe. So when we're talking about faith, we're talking about, number one, when I'm in faith, I can't consider impossibilities. You got it? Can't pay attention to it. Bible says, "Why we look not." You got it? So I cannot pay attention to impossibilities. But it's parallel with this full persuasion, which means I'm fully persuaded about what God has told me. You got it? I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to back off. I'm not going to back up. And then all these two triggers this corresponding action. You got it. My mouth, my walk, my talk, everything begins to line up with what I believe. Now, we ended last week and we were seeing that we found out that the Word of God is incorruptible. Somebody say incorruptible.
Incorruptible.
Now, that means that the Word of God cannot fail.
Amen.
You got it. It cannot fail. You know, you got these are foundational truths that you got to settle in your heart, that the Word of God, it cannot fail. It is incorruptible. That's 1 Peter. We got time. 1 Peter 1 and 3. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1 and 3. And it reads, "Blessed be the God." Oh, that is not it. That would be 2 Peter. And that is not it, so it must be 23. 1 Peter 1, there you go, 23. Boy, that's why you got to, and I didn't change that in my notes. That's why you got to know you better have a word somewhere besides on some paper. You're going to be in trouble. All right, 1 Peter 1 and 23. 1 Peter 1 and 23, and it says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of what?
Incorruptible
by the what?
Word
of God, which liveth and abideth for what?
Ever.
So, you know, the scripture tells us that the Word of God is incorruptible. You know, in simple terms, what that tells me is that once I get the Word of God on something, you got it, that word cannot fail. You got it? It cannot and it will not fail because it is incorruptible. So when God gave you the seed or he gave you the word, he gave you the harvest because the harvest is contained in the seed. You got it? So when God gives me his word, he gives me my harvest. Because the harvest, you got it, is contained in the what? Seed. It's contained in the word. So his word is enough. Somebody say his word is enough.
His word is enough.
So in the mind of God, who is outside of time, it is already done. You just need to get in agreement with him. So we found out that the word cannot fail, but your faith can. You got it? The word can't fail. The word is incorruptible, but my faith can fail me. That was Luke 22, Luke 22, 31. Luke 22, 31. And this is Jesus talking to Peter. He says, and the Lord says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy what? Brethren." So we see here in the scripture that it is possible for your faith to what? Fail. You got it? It's impossible for the word of God to fail, but it is possible for your faith to fail. So then we turned over and we began to look at Mark 4. So you can go to Mark 4. Go to Mark 4 and we'll look at, pick it up there at verse 15. Mark 4 and verse 15. So we said, the enemy is a legalist. You got it. He understands that the word cannot fail. So his primary job is to disturb the ground. You got it? I can't do nothing about the word. Once they get the word, they got it. Word is incorruptible. The word cannot what? Fail. So now what I got to do, if I want to prevent them from walking in the harvest, I must disturb the ground or I must mess with the heart of man. All right? And we saw that last week, starting with verse 15, and we looked at these different kinds of ground. It says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their what? Hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time afterward when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100 what? Fold. So we looked at this last week and we began to identify, you know, strategically what Satan will begin to do to disturb the ground. And number one, we said Satan shows up immediately to try to steal the word. You got it? That was the first one when we begin to look, we read those verses. So when the word is sown, what the enemy wants to do, now I need to get that word from him. So he shows up to steal the word. If that doesn't work, then he'll bring, watch this, affliction or persecution. You got it? Now when I talk about affliction, what am I talking about? I just say trouble. You got it? You know, he said I couldn't steal the word. So you know, now what I got to do is I got to bring some trouble, or you got it, persecution. Now, affliction and persecution is different, because when we start talking about persecution, we're talking about something that involves other folk. Something that involves other folk. When you're talking about being persecuted, you're talking about something that is involving another individual. And in most cases, the enemy will use people that are close to you, because most of us don't care what folks say that ain't close to you. You got it? But you care what those say that are closest what? To you. So he won't, but the primary purpose is to disturb the ground. You got it? Because he's after something. He knows that, listen, I cannot stop this word from working. You got it? It is incorruptible. You got it? So if I can't steal it from him, now I got to mess up the ground. I got to deal with the heart so that now what's in that word will not impact their life. Even though the word is sown, you got it, nothing will come from that word, because faith can't be released. You got it? So we said, number one, that Satan comes to steal the word immediately. Number two, he brings affliction and persecution. Number three, he will remind you of the cares of this world. You got it? So here's, let me get some water, y'all. So I'm trying to. Sorry about that. He reminds you of the cares of this world, and he begins to deceive you about riches and causes you to lust after other things other than the kingdom. You got it? All of this is strategic. All of this is strategic. You got it? He can't steal the word, so he'll say, okay, what I'm going to do, I can't steal it. I'm going to bring affliction. I'm going to bring persecution. I'll remind them of the cares of the world, the light bill, the phone bill, and all of that. I'll deceive them about riches, and I'll cause them to begin to lust after other things that God don't even really want them to have. Right. You got it? And all of it is strategic. You got it? On purpose, to disturb the heart of man or the ground. All right? Now, Boy, I don't know what's going on. If agreement, because he knows, if agreement with the word is broken, you got it, you're going to fall away. Got it? Because what he's trying to do is he does not want you to get at a place where now you and that word becomes one. Y'all are in agreement. You got it? Because once that happens, you got it, now you got it, you begin the stage or the process to get to the place where you have the full head or the full corn in the ear, and that is when you can harvest. All right? Now, let's look at go a little bit farther. Mark 4, still in Mark 4. Verse 26. And we looked this last week. And he says, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the what? Ground, should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up. He knoweth not what? How? The earth bringeth forth the fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the what? Ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest has what? Come. Now, so now we begin to see this process of how the kingdom works. Now, I wasn't able to share this with you all last week. I shared it with my people and through the Bible. And through the Bible this week, but I wasn't able to share it with you all. I forgot Sunday, but I wasn't able to share it last week because it hadn't manifest. All y'all know, for the past 3 to 4 months, I've been dealing with this toe thing. You got it? This ingrown. I'm telling you, man, I've been dealing with this. And the first time I've ever encountered this thing. You got it? And it's a painful thing. Ronnie, he drives me to Raleigh. And as soon as we get out of here and I get in that truck, I take my shoe off. God, come on, because you know when you wear a shoe, man, everything, something even touched that thing, boy, feel like somebody, done hit you with a sludge hammer. So as soon as I get in the car, I take off my shoe. Well, last Saturday, now you gotta understand, I've been speaking over this toe every day for about 3-4 months. I said, you might as well go and stop hurting. You ain't going to the doctor. I ain't soaking you in no alcohol or no Epsom salt. I'm done with all of it, because I ain't going to be, nothing else is going to get the credit for this. You got it? So I stopped all of it. So last Saturday, you know, it was time for me to cut my toenails, man. You know, your toenails grow. And I was dreading to have to cut that toenail, because I knew, man, it's going to hurt. You got it? So I went to go and cut the toenail, and I just heard the Spirit of God start talking to me. He says, take the little knife. It's a little knife on toenail clippers. And he says, I want you to take that little knife and I want you to go around the side of that toe. And I took that little knife and I went around the side of that toe. And all of this, you know, like dead stuff started coming, you know, out of it. Started coming out of it. And once I had, you know, did all of it, I touched my toe and all the pain was gone. No, seriously. Now, it may not mean nothing for y'all. It may not mean nothing for y'all. But I made up my mind I was not going to. See, I could have went to the doctor, let the doctor, you know, do what they do. And I said, I won't go on no doctor for no toe. You got it? And then the Spirit of God began to deal with me. He says, this is how the process works. He says, every day you were speaking to that toe, you was killing it. And once everything was dead, immediately I needed you to put in the sickle. See, y'all, because the harvest has what? Come. You got it? First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the what? Ear. But you don't put the harvest in until the process is done. I could have messed up the process by going in there trying to dig before everything was dead. And this is the process. This is the process. You got it? So I ain't got no more pain in my toe. Because I was wondering how I was going to do that father and son 2-on-2 that Caleb signed me up. I said, man, I can't even move. You talking about playing some basketball. But anyway, so I wanted to share that with you. You know, it took me 3 to 4 months for a toe. But that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Praise the Lord. All right. But I tell people, I said, learn how to fight the fight of faith in small areas. Got it? If you can't win in small areas, how are you going to go win in a big one? See, that's preparing you for something else that's probably coming down the pipe that's much what? Bigger. You got it? So don't settle. I mean we're so quick to go to the natural ways or means of solving our problems that show up in our life. No, we don't have to live like that. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. If you've been here on Sundays, we're now talking about we're in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God supersedes the kingdom of this earth curse system. You got it? Where the natural order of things can be suspended in order for the will of God to come to pass. But he must have a man or a woman who is fully persuaded, watch this, that his word is going to do exactly what he said it's going to do. All right? Now, let's continue to look at this. All right? Now, we cannot put the sickle in until the harvest has what? Come. You got it? So what the devil would do is he has a window of time. And I showed it to you last week when we looked at the corn, had a picture of the corn, where it takes, when the seed is sown on the first day, the forehead and the ear doesn't show up until day 70 or 100. You got it? So in between there, in between day one when the seed is sown and day 70 or 100, the devil has an opportunity to mess up the ground. In other words, to get you to quit or give up. That's his window. He knows, now in between this window of time, I got to get them to quit. Because if I give them to quit and I give them to give up, they'll never walk in the promise. So what he will do is he will intentionally spook you. That's what he does. That's what problems show up to spook you. Persecution shows up to spook you. All of it is meant for one reason, is to get you to back off that word. And the moment you back off of what God told you, you got it, you will never walk in it. And he knows it. So he only has a window of opportunity. And sometimes the closer you get, the stronger the battle gets. You got it? Because he knows time is involved. You got it? So what we got to do is now we got to begin to look at some things so we can understand how we can be rooted and grounded in the midst of being spooked. Go to James. And we're going to finish with this. James 1, but it's going to take me about 15 minutes. James 1, and you know, if y'all was in my Through the Bible on Tuesday, y'all just act like y'all ain't never heard this before. James 1, 2 through 4. So, if you know anything about seed, all right, when something is being planted, one of the first things that begins to develop is the root structure. Got it? One of the first things that begins to develop is the root structure. The question is, what does the root structure do? It does several things. But one of the main things it does is it anchors the plant or the tree. You got it? You got it? It's going to anchor the plant. It's going to anchor the tree in the what? Ground. You got it? Before anything can show up top, there has to be something underground holding it. You got it? But what believers is we want stuff up top in the seen, but we don't want nothing in the unseen. You got it? But the unseen is going to hold you together. Watch this, when you are being battered in the scene. Right. All right. See, I want you, if there's nothing in you holding you, When storms show up outside of you, they're going to pluck you up. They're going to cause you to give up. They're going to cause you to quit. And the devil knows some of y'all. He been knowing. Listen, you ever heard of familiar spirits? Familiar spirit is just like you have angels assigned, you got demons assigned. You know, a familiar spirit, they with your grandmama, your great-grandmama, your mama, and now they're with you. They're assigned to your family. They know exactly how you respond, know exactly how you act. You got it? So what he will begin to do is they will begin to attack you in familiar areas where you and your forefathers have failed. That's how it is. You got it? So if one of your forefathers had a bent or a weakness in a certain area, like alcohol, one of the first areas the attack is going to come is in that what area? Because, watch this, everybody in your family was alcoholics. So now if that doesn't work, then they will start the process of exploration, trying to find out, watch this, what sets you off. You got it? Now, once they find out what that is, they're going to keep right on using it as long as it works. They're going to keep on using it. The same thing, if people mess you up, people going to keep on showing up to mess you up. It's not going to stop. Because if I'm winning using people, why would I put people aside? I don't need to mess with your health. I don't need to mess with your body. Only thing I need to do is send somebody. And you're going to forget all about that word you heard on Sunday and Wednesday. I can get you plucked up by sending the right people. James. So now, what we got to do is we got to change our view of how we see trouble. These next 15 minutes, 10 minutes can change your life. You have to change how you view trouble. How you view trouble is everything. You remember last week I told you about Jesus when he went to heal Jairus' daughter and how everybody else said she was dead, but Jesus said she was what? It ain't hard to go in there and wake somebody up who you think is asleep. Now, if you think somebody's asleep, you just go in there and say, get up. If you think they're dead, you're doing everything you can do before you go in there. You got it? You see what I'm saying? So, but it's all a matter of perspective, how you perceive things, how you see things. So if I can get you to change your perspective on trouble, trouble will no longer be a problem in your life. And the Bible tells us how to deal with it. Let's go. In James 1, verse 2. He says, my brethren. Now, he starts off, we're going to dissect this, so I'm going to take my time. He starts off by saying, my brethren. So number one, he makes it very clear that he's talking to believers. Hey, listen, he ain't talking to folk that's thinking about being a believer. He talking to believers because he says, my what? My brother. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall. Now, number one, he says, count it all what? Joy. He did not say it was joyful. And see, and that's what folk mess it up. They think that they supposed to be enjoying trouble. No. Trouble don't feel good. You got it? So the Bible is not telling me that trouble is going to feel good. The Bible tells me when trouble shows up, I count it, or that word means I regard it, or I consider it as joy. You got it? So number one, when trouble shows up, I got to consider it what? Joy. All right? When you fall. Now hold up. Not if. No. He talked to the brethren. He didn't say, if you fall. He says, so if you're a believer, watch this, you're going to fall into some trouble. You sure don't think it's strange. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, or you can say what? Trouble. You got it? So now, I don't care how good you live. I don't care how holy you live. Trouble going to show up. Trouble is a part of living in this earth curse system. You got it? So if I know trouble is a part of it, I need to know how to deal with what? Trouble. And this is what James is telling us. Let's keep going. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, trials, tests, trouble. You got it? That's what that word means. Knowing this. Now, he starts off and he says, knowing this, because I can't count it all joy if I don't know this. You got it? So, when trouble shows up in my life, I got to know something about trouble. Now, if you don't know something about trouble, you ain't going to handle trouble right. No, you ain't going to handle it right. So now when you don't handle it right, you disturb the ground, and now the harvest that's in the seed can't show up. You frustrated, you mad, and you have quit, and you don't think this church thing worked. But it ain't the church thing. It ain't the word thing. The problem is you. You can't handle trouble. And the devil knows it. Ain't got to do it. Somebody cut you off in traffic. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Okay. Number one, number two, number three, number four, whatever I'm on. Number one, that the trying of your what? Faith. Always remember this. Trouble is not personal. Oh, come on, God, come on. See, when stuff show up in your life, you take it personal. Somebody's attacking me. Somebody don't grow up. You personalize everything. Trouble shows up. Not for you. Trouble shows up to try your faith. When trouble shows up, it puts what you say you believe on trial. Man, somebody out there pay me for this. Because this is where folk get all messed up. Something shows up in your life, you immediately take it personal. They trying to do something to me. It only meant for you. It just put your faith on trial. Because it says, knowing this, that the trying of your what? Faith. So when trouble shows up, it ain't got nothing to do with me. But it's got something to do with what I say I believe. Because now I know my faith is on trial. Come on, I know it ain't no quit in me.
All right.
See, you quit because you think it's personal. Right. See, but I ain't gonna quit because I really know this is just a test. This is it. How am I going to respond when my faith goes on trial? And most believers flunk the test every day. But then they wonder why. Well, God ain't doing nothing in my life. He can't. Because no, I want you to understand this. He can't. You tie his hands because you're violating kingdom law. This is what I'm talking about on Sundays. This is why I told y'all need to come on Sundays and Wednesdays, if you can. because you're going to miss something. You got it? God is not going to violate kingdom law, watch this, to help you in earth. Because he ain't going to violate his word. You got it? So now, when trouble shows up in my life, the first thing I do is I say, this ain't personal. This ain't personal. I'm going to show you in a minute that when it shows up, I'm just getting ready to get promoted. What if I handle it the right way? See, either you're going to stay where you at or get promoted. And it's all going to be based on how you handle trouble. See, this is why I love the kingdom. This is why I love the kingdom. Because what folk don't understand, you couldn't stop me if you wanted to. Because what I, listen, as much heaven flows in my life, it's totally dependent on me and not you. God want to flow as much as heaven to your life as you can handle. But it's wholly and solely up to you. And the first thing you got to do as a believer, you got to stop taking trouble personal. Somebody do something to you and you don't speak to them for 5 years. Why? You want to know why? Because you took it personal. This is why folk can do stuff to me. I smile at them. Keep on doing. Let them keep on doing what they're doing. Don't make me no different. Because why? You know what? Because I know it's not personal. What's happening is I'm getting ready to step into another realm. I just got to handle the trying of my faith right. All right. It's just part of the process. Okay, y'all with me? Okay, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith work it or produce patience. Now, when you see this word patience show up, you know time must be involved. All right? Because now if time is not involved, I don't need patience. If I'm going to have it right now, why do I need patience? I only need patience when time is what? Involved. Now, my definition of patience is the ability to wait with the right attitude. So when you're going through trouble and your attitude ain't right, patience ain't working. No, it ain't even starting to work. So when I understand, because this is y'all stay with me. When trouble shows up in the midst of trouble, my attitude don't change, because now watch this. I done went from first gear to second gear. I done throw that thing from faith to patience. Even though now, what I'm going through. Let me tell you. Why do you need patience? Why do you need patience? Patience, you have to have patience in the days of contradiction. What are the days of contradiction? When everything you're saying and everything you're believing is totally different than everything you're experiencing. You saying one thing, you believe in another thing, but you experiencing something totally different. And if you do not engage patience, you're going to get frustrated and you're going to quit. This is why patience. You got to have patience because time is involved. You got it? There. Okay. Okay, somebody say time is involved. Okay, let me get back to my thing. Now, so it says, what verse I stop at? But verse 4. It says, but let patience have her perfect work. Now, watch this. I got to let patience work. I got to give patience time to work. But it's a perfect work that's going on. You got it? But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting what? Now the Amplified says lacking nothing. So now what happens is patience and faith works together to bring you to this place where you lack nothing. All right? Now here's the key. Here's the key. This is one of the keys. That means before the trouble showed up, you were lacking something. Because after the trouble shows up, and I let faith and patience have their perfect work, then I arrive to the state where I lack nothing. So that means before faith and patience had their chance to work in the midst of my trouble, I was lacking something that I didn't know I was lacking.
All right.
And see, and if you don't get this, you can't count it all joy. You can't. Because every time trouble show up, you take it personal. But you got to know something about trouble. You got it? That trouble shows up to try or test my what? Faith. But you know what? I'm going to keep the right attitude in the midst of the trouble, because I know it's just something trying my faith that's going to produce this thing called patience. And when patience has had her perfect work, she's going to unite with my faith and bring me to this state where I lack nothing. So now you got to ask, because some of you already know you lack some stuff. So what I got to do? I got to get in faith. And I got to let my faith partner with patience. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews 10:36, and we're done. Y'all get anything? It's all in your perspective. It's all in your perspective. All in your perspective. Most people fail because their perspective is wrong. You fail because your perspective is wrong. You got it? Hebrews 10:36. Well, Pastor, I just don't want no trouble. Die. Die. Because Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have what? So as long as you're in this world, you're going to have what? Trouble. Watch this. And the more words you get, you better hear me. I'll give you a nugget. Paul, everybody knows about Paul, thorn in the flesh. Got it. So everybody talks about it. Everybody got their opinion about what the thorn in the flesh was. But I ain't even studying the thorn. You got it? My question was, why the thorn show up? That's the question you got to ask. Why did the thorn show up? If you look at scripture, the thorn showed up because of the abundance of revelation he had. Now, Paul, was he start out like he was talking about this other man that was taken up to paradise and was showed all these things, and some was unspeakable. But if you will continue to look at it, you'll find out that Paul's talking about himself. And it says, because of the abundance of the revelation I had, there was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me, or you can say harass me. The more revelation you get, this is what I tell folks. I said, the more revelation you get of the word, the more harassment you're going to get from the devil. Why? Because he knows the word is incorruptible. So he got a matter of time between the moment the word is heard, you got it, until that word will produce a harvest that is in the word to disrupt the ground. See, the devil ain't, listen, Doc, the devil ain't after you. Jesus told Peter, I pray that your, he wants your faith. Because if he got your faith, you are no match with him. He'll beat you every day, all day. But believers don't understand this. And here's the bottom line. You ain't responsible for what nobody else believes but you. And let's just, and you can't psych yourself out when you don't believe something. That's why I say Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 36. Watch this. For you have need of what? You have need of patience. Why? That after you have done the what? Watch this. See, after you do what's right, then you need patience. Why? So that you'll receive the promise. So that means you can do the will of God, but you ain't got no patience, and you will miss the harvest from what you did. You did the will today, you don't do it tomorrow. See, this is what folk don't understand with patience. This is why I tell folk all the time, you got a nasty attitude, ain't nothing in the kingdom work for you. Because patience is the ability to wait with the right what? Attitude. Yeah, that's it. Bottom line. You can't fool that. Because when I'm impatient, I'm gonna have the right what? Attitude. You got it? So now the devil ain't tripping about you obeying God. But he knows there's time involved in most cases that after you do the will of God, watch this, and manifestations show up. And if you don't deal with time right because you don't have patience, you can abort the process. So why? You can actually have faith and watch this and still miss the promise because you ain't got no patience. But church don't want to talk about that. Let the church say amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm done. You got to have some patience.